Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today we're speaking with Mr. Samuel Woff, an entrepreneurial construction litigation specialist at Coors Chambers Westgarth, Australia's leading independent law firm. And Mr. Woff, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Eric, it's a real great pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And you're more than welcome. Our pleasure. Thanks for your time as well. So what better way to get to know you? Tell us about your passions to kick things off here today.
Yeah, Eric, I'd be very happy to. My passions are relatively simple. It really boils down to three. Firstly, I'm a lawyer, and my first priority is making sure that we get fantastic results for our firm's clients. The second passion that I have is striving towards what I call, quote unquote, smarter law, and we can get into a little bit more about that maybe a little bit later in our discussion. And then the third passion of mine is staying healthy and active. Time constraints of being a lawyer unfortunately means that I've had to retire, to use that phrase fairly loosely, from organized sport, but I am trying to get into triathlons at the moment, which has the virtue of being a little bit more flexible in terms of when you can train.
Yeah, I understand that, and thanks for sharing some of those personal passions with us. That certainly is pretty cool stuff. Now, what drove you to first become a construction lawyer? Touch on that, if you would.
Eric, it's one of those funny things. It was probably a little bit of fate. It certainly, when I reflect on it, has been somewhat of a family tradition. My maternal grandfather was both a construction professional and an entrepreneur. He was a builder who had his own business constructing houses for many decades along the Great Ocean Road down here, not too far from where I am in Melbourne, Australia. On the other side of the family tree, my paternal grandfather was an accountant for 70 years with a large Australian builder now called Simic, and they are now one of Australia's largest multinational contractors. So certainly the hereditary aspect was there, although both my parents are medical professionals, so there must be something in that skips a generation. And it's also interesting that I didn't jump into construction law straight away. Like most young lawyers, once I obtained my formal qualifications, there was a period of time where I tried a variety of different things before joining Coors in 2015 as a construction litigation specialist. And from that point, it's been onwards and upwards since then.
Certainly can appreciate the background and how it all began, and it makes a lot of sense as well. Now, every industry and business is being disrupted today. How do you prepare yourself to transition from everyday lawyer to a commercial construction lawyer and construction litigation specialist with an entrepreneurial approach? I'd like to hear some of your input on that.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. For me, the shift from, and this is something that I am very passionate about, the shift from an everyday lawyer to an entrepreneurial lawyer is predominantly a change in mindset. So it doesn't necessarily mean starting to wear black skivvies, working with whiteboards and beanbags in Silicon Valley or launching, you know, the next Tesla in your spare time. For me, it's more just a subtle shift in perception. The everyday lawyer, when looking for a solution to a problem, will generally ask, how has this problem always been solved? What have we done before to solve this particular problem? The entrepreneurial lawyer, on the other hand, who may wear the same suit, who may work in the same building and probably has a very similar educational background and professional background, will look at the same question and instead of asking, how do we do this last time, we'll ask, how can we solve this problem differently? Now, to be clear, entrepreneurialism is not an excuse to throw out all wisdom and just be reckless. Sometimes the way things have always been done truly does represent the best possible practice. But for me, the entrepreneur and the entrepreneurial lawyer at least ask the question and then think seriously about the answer. At Coors Chambers Westgarth, which is my firm here in Australia, Australia's leading independent law firm, we've been regularly recognised for having such an innovative and entrepreneurial approach. We've launched a number of products such as Coors Edge, which is a platform for startup companies that leverages intelligent software to efficiently create legal documents, and Coors Cyber, which is a rapid response, multidisciplinary, so legal as well as other technical specialties, task force that can respond quickly to a cyber attack on our clients. in my area, like litigation, the firm has embraced technology-assisted review of documents, which helps to reduce some of the vast cost of handling complex litigation for our clients. In August 2020, we were recognised that the firm was recognised at the FT Innovative Lawyer Awards in Asia for being ranked number one in the innovative practice of law, and ranked number two for being the most innovative law firm in the Asia Pacific. So what we can see there is in each of these instances, we have our answer as a firm to the question, how can we do things differently, better, and more efficiently?
Congratulations on those acknowledgments, and that really does, not only is it impressive, but it certainly says a lot about you and the firm as well. Today we're joined by Mr. Samuel Woff, an entrepreneurial construction litigation specialist at Coors Chambers Westgarth, Australia's leading independent law firm. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, working in conjunction with the Legal Corner, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, a lot of times we ask this question, and we can certainly always learn something from it. If you had a chance to go back in time, what would you have done differently, or would you have done anything different?
Look, the one that jumps kind of immediately to mind is that I used to speak Mandarin Chinese at a fairly good intermediate level. I actually lived in Nanjing, which is used to be the capital city of China back about 80 years ago, and is a wonderful city not too far from Shanghai. I used to live there as part of what I was doing on my gap year. Sadly, though, since university, my language proficiency has declined significantly, as is the nature of these things. So much so that when my wife and I last year, which feels like a lifetime ago after the COVID year that we've had, but last year we were in Hong Kong, and there was an embarrassing mix-up. We were in a clothes store, and I asked the cashier what I thought was, is there a tax refund scheme for tourists on these clothes? So, you know, asking whether or not there's a discount available for tourists. And the cashier sort of nodded sagely and left the desk. And I turned to my wife and I confidently said, they're going to check with the manager. Unfortunately, what happened was the cashier came back a minute later, not with the manager, but with a large pile of clothes. And after a little bit more of back and forth in my broken Chinese, it turns out what I had actually asked for was whether or not there were any larger sizes for tourists. So my language clearly had sort of, exacerbated what was otherwise an awkward situation by, you know, asking for the wrong thing. It's something my wife still hasn't let me forget. So my biggest regret is that I haven't kept my language skills sort of dusted and up to date. I mean, Eric, there's absolutely no doubt that China is going to continue to be a major world player. So I very much wish that I had maintained my language skills. Also, though, I am hoping it's something that, like riding a bike, you can relatively easily pick up again with a bit of effort.
That's quite an incident. And funny as it is, but you certainly did learn from it. And I've had to learn the hard way as well within the French language, so certainly know where you're coming from there. Now, kind of shifting topics here, for someone first starting out with a new concept or idea, and there's a lot of those folks that tune into the program, what is the best advice you can give to those folks?
Yeah, I have given some thought to this, and I've been asked this question before, and my advice, I think, centers around this. Having the idea, the entrepreneurial idea, is an important step, but it's just the first step. The second and sometimes more challenging step for the entrepreneur is to get other people excited about your idea. So the entrepreneur must not only be the chief producer of the innovative idea, they must also be the chief spokesperson, marketing executive, and advocate for the idea. Because when you suggest something that's new, there will inevitably be people that you will need to convince. It's your job as the entrepreneur to get those people on board and bring them along on the journey. The great entrepreneurs have never let that challenge, and it is a challenge, but they've never let that challenge deter them. One of my favorite stories, Eric, is about the creator of Spider-Man, who's a gentleman by the name of Stan Lee. And Stan, when he first conceived the idea of Spider-Man, was bluntly told by his editor that it was a terrible idea. Nobody's going to, what is this, a mutant teenager with, you know, got bitten by a spider and has some sort of powers? No one's going to buy it. Now, obviously, Stan thought he was onto something, and he ignored that feedback. And in 2017, with no small amount of you know, retrospective pride. He was able to tell an audience at the University of Southern California that from his experience, if you have an idea that you genuinely think is good, don't let some idiot talk you out of it. And I think that's an absolutely fantastic sentiment and a great phrase. If you think you have an idea that's good, don't let somebody talk you out of it. He persevered with the idea despite his critics and was rewarded for it in the long run. And so I think that's just a fantastic story and a good example of the perseverance required to sell your idea to the world.
Certainly do appreciate your sharing that. I'm sure you inspired or motivated someone tuning in today. Thanks for that. Now, lastly, how important are mentors or coaches in one's business and personal development growth?
Eric, they've been absolutely essential. You know, to not only to my technical growth as a lawyer, but also in the development of my own entrepreneurial streak. From a technical perspective, law, like a lot of professions, remains the archetypal apprenticeship, where knowledge is transferred through a period of close observation and replication of a master, essentially. So in order to become a good lawyer, good coaching and mentoring has been absolutely critical in that development. And from an entrepreneurial perspective as well, a coach is essential. A coach or somebody that you can at least bounce ideas around with is essential for pushing you along and exposing you to new ideas that sometimes sit outside your comfort zone. They open you up to seeing the world in a new light. That's why it's essential to have, in addition to somebody who can support your technical skill, whatever profession you're in or whatever role you're in. For me, that's a lawyer. It's essential to have somebody, whether that's a coach or a mentor, from an entirely separate field, if for no other reason to expand the horizons of your thinking.
Certainly appreciate your thoughts on that topic, and I personally as well agree 100% with you on that. I've benefited greatly from mentors and coaches over the years. Really appreciate your time spent with us here today. If someone wanted to get more information on you or your firm, where's the best place online to do so?
The best place online for our firm would be to check out our website, which is www.corrs.com.au. That will sort of be your landing page, which can take you wherever you need to go specifically once you get there. For me personally, I would love to connect with your listeners if they wanted to on LinkedIn. And you can find that by just doing a search for Samuel, which is S-A-M-U-E-L, J, which is my middle initial, and then WOF, which is W-O, F for Friday in the LinkedIn field. And I'd be very happy to connect with your listeners there.
Fantastic, and we'll certainly leave a link, as we always do, within the show notes of this broadcast to further aid as well. Again, Mr. WOF, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on EPN.
It was my pleasure, Eric. Thank you for having me.
And certainly was our pleasure anytime. We've been speaking with Mr. Samuel WOF, an entrepreneurial construction litigation specialist at Corrs Chambers Westgarth, Australia's leading independent law firm. And for all the details, visit corrs.com.au. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.